So,
it's kind of weird saying the thing, you guys.
Just to keep the, just to maintain the imaginary integrity of what it is that this is. It's always funny, you know. You don't want to be, too absurdly assertive, because that can be, you know, distasteful. But if you don't set certain, let's just call it, ground rules for intervention or ground rules for engagement, then it's easy for, human beings to get, let's just say, self-consumed with their own thinking. And I'm here to tell you that your thinking is garbage and your thinking is bullshit. And if you're still proud of your thinking, this is not a meeting to attend. What this is about is appealing to a embedded quality of intelligence that you're not just in possession of, but that you are made of. And in order to establish a TCP/IP connection, thank you, with that embedded intelligence, your thinking or your loyalty to your thinking has to shift. Because this is about listening. It's about feeling. It's about discovering nuance and texture of what your actual experience is revealing to you. And in order to meet that, to have that connection to what your actual experience is revealing to you, you have to be able to, or be willing to, wean yourself, at least for the time that we're together. What you do when this meeting is over is thankfully your business. But during your time here, the invitation is to wean yourself from impulsive discourse, from hijacking, from attention seeking, from promulgating, from, you know, diving into hypothetical scenarios that are not actually present, just to entertain yourself. I don't wish to put anyone down or to insult anyone's intelligence. But in order for the group at large, many of whom have come a distance, to benefit from what we clumsily attempt to do here, then everyone has to be on, let's just say, good behavior. And good behavior is simple. It's like, feel the texture of your present experience. And that will guide your intelligence and guide the, let's say, the quality of inquiry or the quality of questions that you might bubble up inside of you. And I'm not an answer man, because there is really no question and there's really no answer. There is simply the feeling of this and, you know, what might show up as a curiosity or a quizzical discovery as you engage with the texture of present experience. So my role, you could say, is to be, in a sense, a provocateur, ways of harnessing your attention and steering that attention, mine included, with respect to questions and considerations and some degree of free association. It's not about having a cosmology or a, you know, spiritual line of discovery that I am in a position to impart to you, because that is fucking bullshit. Whether that's, you know, here or all the other places that we humans can go to get, recognized or affirmed. you're not going to be recognized here, nor are you going to be affirmed. This is the ruination of your hubris, mine included. And that's YouTube, a different, right? And that's a different, yeah, hence the YouTube, touche. And that's what this is about. You could say, prior to the impulse of a thought or a philosophy or an assertion about reality, there is, let's just call it the texture of this irrefutability. Some, you can call that experiencing. You can call it consciousness. Doesn't matter what you refer to it as in words. Your present experience is not dependent upon what you think. It's not dependent on your sentimentality. It's not dependent on the imagination of your personal history. It's not dependent on the ways that you may torture or enjoy yourself with respect to a future that you don't actually have. So presence is baked, is full of a transmutative quality of intelligence. That intelligence doesn't have implication. It's not made out of genesis. It's not going anywhere. That intelligence is not bound by the imagination of spatial orientation or temporal orientation. It is not dependent on the imagination that you are born, that you have a body, and that you have prior life experience. It doesn't give a shit about you in that way. So there is something at stake then. As we approach this kind of yoga or this kind of contemplative engagement, all of the loyalty and certainty of your life lived prior to this moment is useless to you. That can be a relief to some. It can be antagonizing or an imposition to others. This is about a discovery of what liberation might look like, what liberation might feel like, what the vocabulary of liberation is. And therefore, there's an emphasis placed on learning how to sense that your present experience is irrefutable. You could say full, you could say empty, you can say a million things about the curious demonstration of the texture of present experience. And you can also see that anything spoken about it is metaphorical. It's anecdotal. It's a movement of conjecture based on one's conditioning, one's education, one's use of language. But your present experience is not dependent upon your conditioning, your education, or your facile use of language. It is autonomous. It is itself. As we become if we're interested, of course, and by virtue of that interest, by virtue of that affection, and by virtue of that sensitivity, we become conscious of present experience in a way that we might not have made a lot of room for in our so-called past. That's what these conversations are about. And they can be liberating, in that you give yourself permission to be free from the imagination of yourself, which is a permission that we really rarely grant ourselves, because we are so, you could say, consumed with our own thinking and with our own sentiment and with our own ideas and with our own strategies and our philosophies and our imagination of the world and what's right with it and what's wrong with it and what I or someone else needs to do about it. And I'm not placing any of those criticism, but all of that kind of movement, psychological or sentimental movement in relationship to present experience and the imagination of a world and what needs to happen in that world and what you're going to do about what you like and dislike about the world is really your business. And I respect it, but I don't want to fucking hear it. That's a little black and white. We make fun of each other all night long, which includes any idea that anybody has. Because you can see, you can begin to see how your ideation, how your projections, how your philosophies and your superstitions and your beliefs and your codependency with consciousness in the first place will set you up to live in an imaginary condition. And this is about what the fuck is this if I am not following that habitual impulse to create and then dwell in an imaginary condition. This is the end of imagination. And yet, it's just as weird as it's always been. But how you relate to it, how you relate to experiencing when you are not inundated with your own imagination, that could be a magical encounter. And here you are. You are privy. You have an orchestra seat or front row or backstage pass, wherever you like to sit, to the miracle of yourself. Now we can end the meeting and eat some popcorn. Or we can continue. Make no mistake, the habit of orientation, which includes space and time and place and justification and utility and future and past, the habit of orientation is formidable. It is profound. A lot of folks that are, let's say, on a spiritual path, so-called, of, you know, varying degrees, might hope to find peace and care, affection, compassion, availability, bodhisattva vows, etc., etc., in experience. I want my spiritual life to be able to be demonstrative in experience, demonstrable in experience. And that wish, which is understandable, fails. Why does it fail? This is not experience. It's irrefutable. It's pretty fucking weird. Or ordinary. You could call it dog shit awareness, or you could call it the sacred otherness. Then those two are interchangeable. It doesn't matter. What we fail to see is that our aspirations, be they spiritual, secular, emotional, whatever they are, altruistic, you know, all of our aspirations are dependent upon the myths that we hold about experience. So I can feel better, look better, be more effective, be more compassionate, work to the better good of other people or the, you know, species at large. And those are great aspirations. I mean, I wish I had them. I don't. I used to, but they've gone. But they're wonderful to have. I mean, I'm not putting them down. But as the revelation of the myth of the world kind of creeps into your soul, it evokes in you a different, let's just say, working relationship with the nature of present experience. It doesn't mean you become crass or obstinate, adversarial, disinterested. It means something different than that. And I can't say what that is. I can't accuse myself or anybody else of what that might be. That's really up to you to discover. But there is a, call it concomitant or companion reality to the one that we think that we're living, the one that's made out of imagination and projection. That companion reality happens to be, oh my goodness, just this. But it is no longer suffering from the projections that I'm making. And as those projections and the tendency to make those projections soften and lighten up, then this has its own vocabulary. It has its own way of, we could say, speaking to itself, entertaining itself, being immersed in itself without that nagging sense of me as an intermediary, me as an experiencer. This is experience, but there's no experiencer. The experiencer is imagined. And that's a very challenging habit to break. And let's face it, most human beings who we know and love and care for don't give a flying fuck about discovering what this might actually be. If you're interested and motivated, so through whatever peculiar circumstances, to discover what this might actually be, you are alone. You might have this crazy fucking meeting to come to on occasion, but it might not be sufficient for just how alone you actually are. Getting to the bottom of the myth of reality and the presumption of your individuation, that is your deal. That's your business. That's your journey. We just kicked that around as a kind of a, kind of a recovery group. Though there's nothing to recover from. Mind can be, what we call mind, refer to as mind, can be associated just as equally or as well with the word restlessness. The mind is restless. It's in a sense incapable of resting in presence, because this is also remarkably effusive and evocative. And even in a kind of a quiet room where there's not much going on, there's a huge amount of, let's just call it, going on. Or there is a field of infinity that you can borrow from instant to instant and instant to instant, where you can conjure the imagination of yourself, conjure the imagination of a world, conjure the imagination of good, bad, right, and wrong. You know, religion against religion, and race against race, and color against color, and gender against gender, and every other fucking thing that you can find in the midst of an infinity field that can appear to define you. So this is a, you know, madness. It's a madness. The interpretation of reality having to do with space, time, and self is delusional. It's a form of madness. It can drive an otherwise innocent species from the so-called Garden of Eden to a very painful extinction, and may very well be doing that. Or who knows, the heart and soul of humanity and the possibility of awakened spiritual intervention occurring organically, or from the re-arising of Atlantis, or from extraterrestrial friends that may have come to visit us to help us out, or the ascended masters, whoever they might be. Who knows? They might be capable of all kinds of tricks and keep us from the brink of disaster, and that may very well be happening as we speak. Who knows? But all fanciful conjecture from any cosmology whatsoever you might be able to discover is fantasy, because reality is not dependent on what we might call a solar system or a universe or black holes or planets that have cooled sufficiently for a remarkably complex and sensitive life form to appear to have taken, you know, off. You could argue that the joy of this discovery, if you're lucky enough for it to ever become joyful, is that what we might refer to as availability, which is the already, let's call it just for fun, God-given gift of, oh my goodness, what the fuck is this? That God-given availability or sense of wonder turns out to be not just the original gift, but also is the path and also is the fruition of itself.
Then my question?
I don't have an answer to that. One questions what they question according to their karma and nature and frustration with whatever is happening in their so-called life experience. Yeah.
But that moment that you were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If that you're really one, experiencing it, then there's
yes.
The questions dissolve. Right?
Yes. Yep. Yes. Yeah. I mean, if you want to play, you know, what happens when, then yeah. If you were really experiencing it, then questions might very well dissolve.
I hope that maybe at least one time in all of our lives we've had like maybe a glimpse. Second of that moment.
Yeah. Yes, one could argue just for fun that's all you've ever had and that's all you ever will be. And that the movement of association has a curious capacity to seem to obscure that.
You just get a glimpse.
Yeah.
You're lucky.
Yeah, just a taste. Right. That's right. I mean, this kind of conversation is... you know, inspired by the hot pursuit of that taste.
Yeah.
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 And not just the hot pursuit of that taste, but as those visitations or freebies arise, right, which is no longer a philosophical imagination, but a release that is transhuman. That might be, you know, just a whisper and last just a moment or two. But that, let's say the confidence that one is gifted to see, well, that will, let's say, one might say one hopes that will sneak up on you. So that those tastes are, for whatever it's worth, they occur more frequently and last ever so much longer. So that instead of merely being will-o'-the-wisps, right, of moments of unrecordable ecstasy, they actually start to imbue, right, the quality of consciousness. Yes, that's right. And as that occurs, then all of the inertia that we invested in, which is the myth of myself in a world that might be pleasing or unpleasing and all the things that I'm committed to do about it, those can just quiet right down. Because this, if there is a thing, you know, such as liberation, this would be it. And this is it. Then the challenge is, I've been so habituated to relating to my present experience through, right, tremendous inertia of irritability and imagination and, you know, space-time, that it becomes, you know, an enlivening adventure to reframe the habit of insisting upon myself as the intermediary and begin to get these glimpses and tastes and insightful encounters, direct encounter, with the cessation of that habit. And this is it. just has always been it. This is the cessation of self. So it's kind of a confidence game. You know, it's a shell game. This is the release of the imagination of self, and it is also the leaping off point of more iterations of self. It's not one or the other. It's curiously always both. It's always hallucinatory, and it's always free from any implication. We can't actually get, we can't deny one to, let's say, only dwell in the other, because they're the same. The liberation is also remarkably inundated with the plethora of data or sensation that accompanies this irrefutability. Yeah, and that's what makes the paradox kind of tempting and weird, is that we'd like to replace, you know, my lust with generosity and my fear with confidence and my selfishness with, you know, compassionate whatever. And so we're stuck in this paradox of I'm one way, but I want to be another way. Like, and therefore the cultivation of, call it ethical or, you know, moral upliftment has its place, but ultimately it's not the destination. It's a fail, because this is crazy. This is violent as much as it is miraculous. It's despairing and full of tragedy and woe as much as it is transcendent and, you know, uplifting. So there's a challenge, therefore, because I want to feel the best I can feel, and yet I find myself on a lazy Susan of self-torture that I can't seem to control or manage, because I'm just impulsive and impulsive and impulsive and impulsive, and I create the world and I create my relationship with people and my vulnerabilities and my frustrations and my anger and my reactivity, and this, like, oh my God, it's just a pulsation, you know, it's a madness of pulsation that I don't appear to have any control over. And that probably is absolutely true. So trying to manage one's relationship with the madness, the pulsing madness of consciousness itself, may not work out so well. May not. I mean, you know, you have to go to the end of your journey, right? If you're responding to life in a certain way, well, then you keep responding to life in that way, hoping that you'll get meaningful results from responding to life in that way. And as we mature quite, you know, organically, with through no effort of our own, we start to be able to respond to the vicissitudes of living, or the joy of living, or the conundrum and the madness of living with a, you know, different set of resources. So we apply new resources to the curious challenge of being alive. Then, not that there's a then, because it's just this, it's always just fucking, it's just this. Now it's this, now it's this, now it's this, now it's this, now it's this. No moment has any duration, but the moments don't quit. The curious way that we're able to stitch together the fantasy of my durability is just done in memory. Because you're actually refreshed from so-called moment to moment, none of which have any duration. You're in constant refresh. And miraculously unconditioned, though it seems like I'm a product ongoingly of my conditioning. And this curious sense of identity, you could say, is fomented and cemented by the myth of memory. And the myth of association, the myth of comfort and discomfort. How is it possible that we are able to recreate ourselves as a kind of a durable character when every moment never ever happened before and will never ever happen again? So I can only recreate the sense of myself as a constantly existing durable creature in imagination. Call that memory, because it's not actually true. Even the cuckoo thinks so. You nailed it. Let's take it outside and have a fire.
Yeah, just throw it in the neighbor's showers.
Yes.
It's perfect punctuation.
Liberation is some scary shit, man.
So you have these moments of liberation, the one, what is it, experiences, if we're lucky.
It's one way to look at it.
Statement. Because I have a particular type of liberation, if it can be called that, which I wanted to kind of just ask you about, if you've had any experience of it, or whether...
I'll make anything up.
Okay. So, you've heard of out-of-body experiences, presumably.
I have heard of them.
Right.
I've had them.
Okay, so then you know what you're talking about.
I might be having one now.
Yeah. Well, exactly, you might be.
I just wouldn't know it.
But to me it was kind of interesting, because like from when I look back on my memory banks,
mm-hmm.
and I go, well, which ones of those memories were most liberating?
Lovely.
I would go straight to the out-of-body experience.
Nice.
Because it's like, because now you're looking at it from another perspective. And for the first time you do it,
yeah,
you're really in that state of what the fuck?
Yes.
It's like, I was more in a state of, I was like, all I could do is look around and think, all the things that I'd ever thought were all wrong. And it was like,
well done.
I did, and my out-of-body experience would say, oh, fuck. You were like, oh.
Well played.
That was wrong. That was wrong. That
yep.
was wrong.
Yep.
That was wrong.
That's right.
So
all wrong.
That.
Yeah, that's right.
The
all wrong.
Of it was so right. It was. But I do see that as you know, like when I'm trying to sort of filter into your way of thinking, and I'm new to it, so just bear with me. But I do kind of see that as okay. That there's a little spike there. That's like from a memory bank perspective. It's like yeah, that did give me another perspective that showed me that my current perspective is
nice.
Flawed.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So then from there on out, you've got a triangulation device, right? Because it's like
no.
if it's flawed from one side,
no.
you can't
no.
start applying.
No, all you have is fraud. You will not see if you attempt to apply, and I mean a triangulation device is very well put, you know, like any sextant or
right.
Just another
perspective.
Right. That's right. So if you to the extent that what we might call consciousness, having had, let's call it secular experience, spiritual experience, in and out of body experience,
right.
is able to absorb with no delay, right, new potentials of triangulating,
mm-hmm.
right? But all you're going to find, and I don't think this is too out of field, all you're going to find is another fallacious frame of reference, more fraud. Because this is actually free in its entirety from any implication. But as long as you're triangulating, you have to objectify.
Right.
And if you're objectifying, that's imagined. Because this is not objects.
Well, it takes you out of the moment, too. Yeah.
Yes, and also the triangulation, which could, let's say, create some, spirit of discovery, creates time.
Yeah, it's a very subtle form of scheming.
Very subtle form of scheming. Well played. And if you look, anyone's invited to look at the nature of most of the shit that I have to put up with, you know, in my own so-called intimate self, it's a subtle form of scheming, and it won't fucking quit. Yeah.
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 How are we gonna get more snacks?
Yeah, more snacks.
Yeah.
More snacks. So now a different may I take a leap, a different order of magnitude of in let's call it intelligence
mm-hmm.
can simply rise up, bubble up to the extent that I'm capable of seeing without being defended, without being justifiable, right, without being inebriated by my capacity for clever triangulation, I see that this fucker schemes.
Yeah.
And to the extent that I can enjoy such a perhaps devastating encounter, which is, fuck me, all I do is scheme, there can be liberation from it. As long as I'm operating from it, which can be entertaining. I mean, look, this is infinity. This will never stop enthralling you. It will never quit enthralling you, sensually, spiritually, in body, out of body, triangulating, because it is happy, absolutely happy to be self-fulfilling. Whatever you find, whatever you think, whatever you imagine, whatever you conjure from this otherwise inert field of infinity is yours to conjure. And that's how the scheming keeps us inebriated or enthralled with a sense of self. And that's fantastic. It's okay if we all go to extinction, or it's okay if we hit a golden age. You know, we trip over ourselves and hit a golden age. I mean, who cares what happens to humanity in a sense? You know, best of luck, everybody. You know, vote your conscience and best of luck. So, you know, the jury's out on that. But it's not so simple. But you can see, you know, through curious conversations like this one, and of course a thousand others that are probably available, that this fucker schemes. And at some point you become, well, let's just say a little weary of it or suspicious of it. And so the impulse to reinvent oneself, to feel better, to look better, to do better, to behave better, to, you know, be winning in whatever way I want to be winning, that could collapse. The collapse of scheming is liberation. But it's not like you have to wait for liberation, because all this is liberation, ongoingly beleaguered by the imagination of scheming. You don't say, I'm done with scheming. You're not. Because it's another scheme. Yeah. So in a sense, you have to, and this we can't do willfully. We can't do this willfully or through intelligence or through articulation. The end of scheming is it's a hat trick. It's a fake. Your consciousness, whatever that is, goes underneath both the myth of scheming and the myth of some kind of imagined freedom from scheming. You're not interested in either, not the scheming or the hoped for freedom from scheming. That's freedom. But you can't say anything about that because it doesn't have any markers. There's no evidence. And yet, here it is.
I think you can only look towards something of a practice that can kind of guide you into just a different perspective. Like he's saying, whether it's out of body, whether it's playing music, whether it's just breathing.
Yes.
You know, this is the shift.
This is
where
you're
looking for that grounding force.
Everybody
has their own tool.
Yeah, no question. Hopefully. Right. So if I'm a creature in time, and I've heard a certain kind of a message that has me alerted now to what triangulation does or what scheming does, then, and I see that that's kind of a dead end for where I've already had a deep instinct of, right? Yeah. I've had a deep instinct of the unconditioned otherness or unconditioned self, a deep instinct of it. And it's through the contrast of that to my scheming and my triangulation and my sense of psychological time and my hoped for improvements as a so-called sensual being that I see that scheming is bullshit. Gradually. Right? A little bit at a time. Two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah.
Right? One step forward, 18 steps back. You can get really clobbered by this shift. Yeah. Here, and no way to get back up. Boom! 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 Yeah.
So scheming equates to thinking spaces. There is no difference there. They equate to each other.
Yes. It's, it's fun to play the black and white game, but everything's also gray. So, yeah, in one respect, scheming and thinking could be easily, you know, linked together. But it gets subtler than that. Like this, whatever the fuck this is what it is. I don't know what it is. Nobody really knows what it is. And anyone who thinks they know what it is are only working through a body of scheming, a body of hallucination, a body of cosmology, a body of objectification and implication. And look at your present experience. No moment has any duration and will never be seen or heard from again. So what fucking implication could it have? None. I mean, it's an infinite field of unmitigated emptiness. Good luck. Have a great time. But you can see that the insistence on self in time, you know, optimizing or maximizing the myth of experiencing itself doesn't quit.
Right. Each moment is a moment of opportunity, surely, for expansion.
Something. Okay, far out. That's one way to look at it. Yeah. It's an opportunity in one respect, but it's an opportunity for the myth of a creature. If the myth of the creature passes away, it's no longer an opportunity, it's itself.
Yeah, I mean, you could just take something very simple like breathing in and out. You don't have to tell yourself to breathe in and out. But once you start to tell yourself to breathe in and out,
you start to take over.
You start to take over, but there, I think that there is a process where, okay, maybe all of us are in this society maybe breathing much, much too shallow. We're not using the full capacity of our lungs. So there, I think there is a process of scheming until you reach a point where you don't need
to scheme anymore. Well, okay.
Well, I'm just.
Do you want to put that point in your future, or do you want to just end it all now?
You know, Charlie Parker, James Saxon, Jazz Blue. He says, I sit in a room 8 hours a day practicing tedious, tedious exercises, and then at night I just go out and wail. You know, I feel like there's an element of taking both and seeing the value of the scheme, but not becoming dependent on the scheme. You can use it as a tool, just like you can use anything.
I love every philosophy, and I don't disagree with that insight. I mean, yeah, it's sensitive, cogent, well thought out, intelligent, and you use a Charlie Parker or whomever, and I'm like, yeah, fucking guy is like talking about jazz. He knows his shit. So, I mean, it's lovely to hear everything and anything anyone has to say nearly about anything, and yet you're like, oh, yeah, just shut the fuck up. Not personally. I'm speaking to myself. You know, like, why don't you just shut the fuck up? You and Charlie Parker just fuck off. Yeah. Because the freedom of presence will dwarf the interest, philosophical or otherwise, that anyone has in getting better at presence.
Of course.
Why get better at it?
Back to just the breathing. Like, yeah. Once you reach that full capacity of breathing where you're just in the breath, you don't have to think about it at all. That's what ultimately where the scheme dissolves, like it's got you to a certain level.
When we first met, I asked you, and I'll ask again, because I think it's useful not just for you and I, but for this conversation at large, are you done with ultimately?
No.
Okay, then wax on.
Well, exactly.
The invitation here,
yeah.
And I love everyone's philosophy and thoughtful ways of putting things. The invitation here is, look, this is ultimately. You're done with ultimately. Really, I'm inviting you to be done with ultimately. Because here's what you're after. This is it. You don't have to use your charm, experience, and communication skills to create another hypothetical imagination of yourself. This is ultimately. Be done with it. Be done with ultimately.
So doesn't one get to a place where, I mean, obviously we're all here for a reason. And I'm here in this.
No, there's no, I mean, yeah, there's no we, there's no room, there's no here, there's no, you see, all of those are, right? Those are virtual presumptions based on an irrefutable infinity.
My perceived experience right now. So this is my perceived experience. This is my whole perceived experience.
Yes.
I can't see past these walls. This is where my focus is. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
and I see that I can make a decision as to, well, not make, may make a decision so much I can feel whether I like my experience or I'm not quite so happy with it.
This is freedom from dependency on experience. You want liberation? Give your experience away. Your experience doesn't fucking matter. Not what you think it is, not what you feel about it, and not whether you have a decision.
Right. And that's where I'm kind of like, I don't quite, because like, you know, we live a certain number of years, right? And as we go along, it either gets better or worse, or it doesn't change.
Anything can happen, and it's going to suck.
And you'll arbitrarily pick out whatever. Wasn't Charlie Parker also a raging alcoholic? Or is that a different guy?
Maybe it was heroin. It
might have been heroin, yeah.
Killed himself.
At night, I will.
Just leave that part out.
Oh!
No, leave that part out. Womanizing heroin addict.
Yeah, that's right. A violent womanizing heroin addict that played really fucking great jazz. It's kind of like Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was the king of pop. He didn't abuse children.
I mean,
I know. So I hear you. Look, this is unbelievable. It's just, this is horrible that it's happening at all. Or this is amazing. I have never had this much fun. Then what comes in is a mind that says we, they, here, when, why, purpose,
right, sure,
experience,
sure.
And that's cool.
That's when you start your scheming.
That's right.
I want to take this and I want to make it.
That's right.
Better.
That's right.
Right.
Yep. Scheming on.
I'm fair enough. Right. But it's like.
Yeah.
That's the what is it? The option that we perceive. Right.
Yeah.
The
we're leaning.
Option is,
yeah.
Well, don't bother. Just stay at home.
Yes.
Stay at home. Chill out. And.
Yep.
Make sure you turn off all the TV and whatever it is.
Again, it's not. It's the again we tend to frame a relationship with how strange this is through what we could do, should do, can, can't, might do. Those are irrelevant. They are absolutely irrelevant. Look, here you are, so-called now, right? Prior to whatever now is, everyone could kind of agree they've done a fuckload of scheming, right? A fuckload of rumination and scheming and imagination and so-called manipulation, constructive or otherwise. We've been victims of harm. We've been perpetrators of harm. I mean, you know, I got more so-called memories of my failed life than I can possibly articulate. I'd need twice as many years of having lived the life to then tell a story about the life.
Yeah. So who's to say that?
And so what's
schemas isn't our reality.
That's so what's
what we're born to be.
What's, you know? No question. I'm fine with that. I mean I don't matter. My opinion about shit doesn't mean doodle. So it doesn't matter whether I agree or disagree or I affirm you or I disaffirm you. Because it's like who gives a fuck?
It does seem like
the question is here this is. And what did your scheming have to do with it? What did your rumination have to do with it? I mean, you are not, in a sense, even though we've talked about conditioning and the, you know, the tragedy of conditioning, the, you know, the impossibility of avoiding conditioning, I could say the opposite is also true. You're not conditioned. You've never been conditioned. This present experience is not conditionable. That's the end of self.
Yeah.
And this is the ultimately. But the mind will come in and want to reaffirm its position.
Yeah, it's true and it's not true. You know, it's like what you're saying is true and it's not true. Right? And then there's a place for both. They're not exclusive.
No, because exclusive again would be the presumption that I'd hit upon a philosophy or an idea that could possibly be true, you know, at the expense of it being untrue. This is neither true nor untrue. Because true is an idea, right? Untrue is an idea. In a sense, it's a value judgment. Is this true? I don't know. It's true enough. Is it untrue? It's pretty fucking untrue.
It's like whether you want to highlight Charlie Parker's saxophone playing that's or right. woman beating heroin.
That's right. Aspects. Yeah. Same brilliant jazz artist.
Whichever you.
Here he is. Here he is on stage at the Beekman, and here he is beating the fuck out of his brand new girlfriend.
A better question would be, instead of is it true or not, because you're right, we don't have the answer to that, we're dependent, but we do have an answer to, is it fun?
Fun?
Is it fun?
Okay, that's
fun? Because then your answer comes from within as opposed to dependent on all the other. It's like, yeah, you can feel fun,
if you value
you
it.
You can't feel true.
If you value it. I hear what you're saying about true, I do. I hear what you're saying about fun, I do. If you value fun over true or untrue, knock yourself out.
What was it? Would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? I always love that question.
Yeah.
Which is like if you have a choice, you know.
Yeah. If you have a choice and you don't,
yeah.
Then
or would you rather be liked or rather be respected?
I don't care about those. That's up to someone else.
One. Yeah. See, some person cares, another person doesn't. Right. True, untrue, fun, not fun, respected, right, loved. The dance here is more or less like we're doing. Associations bubble up. Identity bubbles up. Contrast, comparison, philosophy, urgent. Insight bubbles up, and we feel it and so-called speak it out, and that's cool. The dilemma might be is that if I associate with the impersonal and so-called conditioned and unconditioned nature of bubbling up, then you could say there's a kind of a congealing of identity around this involuntary, impersonal bubbling up. And then I form opinions and I form boundary fields about what the Buddha might have referred to as attraction and aversion. And I have that attraction and aversion toward the imagination of myself, and I have that attraction and aversion toward the imagination of others or my environment, or my physical sensations, or my sentimentality, or my plans and strategies, or my regrets. And once that bubbling up, you know, occurs, and then I jump in that canoe, it's not that difficult to see that, oh, I'm living delusionally. This reminder and emphasis is on, you could say, an honorable bow to living delusionally. And then an invitation to not live delusionally. Like right about fucking here. To persist in, you know, delusional projection, which we all do with aplomb, is fine and dandy. But I would, you know, just for fun, to be provocative, hold fast to the invitation that you needn't be the product of delusion.
Yeah. I guess the question then becomes, well, is the experience of being in the moment or merging with existence the level of being, I don't want to call it a level,
uh-huh.
But in reality, for me, I look at it as a level. It's like I can't just sit at a piano and play Chopin. You know, it's like there is a level of technical prowess, a level of understanding.
You got to start somewhere.
You got to start somewhere. Chopsticks, right? But there's
okay, let's say you can't.
There's a relationship that I have with existence where I say, well, yeah. there are specific techniques or specific practices and methods to allow myself to reach that level of being.
Well, see, but yes, I hear you. But all of that's dependent on myself, some kind of level of being that might be different or other than this so-called level of being, and the various interventions that the world is, you know, known for.
Yeah.
Across the universe, Earth is known for a lot of interventions on how to get from here to there.
Yeah.
Now, and you can imagine that you're the product of whatever you imagine you're the product of, and do so with very convincing, right, articulation. And the thrill of this meeting is like, no, you're not the product of anything.
Yeah, that has a lot of value.
Score! 3-pointer from way out. Yeah, that's all. Really, it's that simple. I hear and respect and enjoy everyone's, you know, so-called, but what about, and I'm this, and I mean, we're thrilling. Fuck it, we're thrilling. We entertain each other. I mean, we're great. We're great. This is like, this is fucking great. And yeah. And you are nothing at all. Yeah. And this is ultimately.
Yeah. Yeah, until you want to have fun.
Well, I...
right?
This is where we come for fun.
We're losers, man. This is what we do for fun. I'm toast.
I'm like,
I hear you.
Like,
I want to have some fun. Yeah. I want to fuck and get fucked by the world.
You know, it's funny. I had this experience. Has anybody here drank ayahuasca?
No one will admit to it.
Oh, Ryan, well, he'll tell you all about it for days.
Yeah.
For 3 days.
I haven't mentioned it in months. You guys mentioned it more than they got.
It's powerful.
That was her. That was on her.
Yeah, I've been living out in California. I don't know if this is
Yeah,
right.
Don't get into it. Just get to the bottom. Get to the fix.
The bottom of it. Get to the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, there was a moment where I wanted to have fun and everybody else wanted to be silent.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but I want to dance.
Yeah.
It's like,
I hear you.
And there's this push and pull with, you know, it's like, well, when's the right time to have fun? The boundaries can be in the no boundaries. The love can be in the no. It's like you're getting twisted inside and out. And to find that place where your expression's in the moment, in a place where I feel like maybe you're expressing something that's hard to get up and clap about, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean. So it becomes a quandary for me. But
understood.
But that's part of the process. I understand.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. I mean, you could use a kind of a hormonal metaphor, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, having fun, wanting to have as much fun, if not the most fun, is very beguiling. And to the extent that we might be expressive or artistic or intro or extroverted, we find ways to figure out how to, you know, lean into a little fun. If I have, you know, this amount of money, I can have a certain kind of fun. If I have this certain kind of personality, I can have that kind of fun.
Nice day out, man.
If it's a nice day out, I can have a certain kind of fun, you know.
If it's rainy,
yeah. So, rock and roll. Rock and roll, have fun. There's no question. Yeah, have fun.
Yeah.
This, whatever this is, it creeps up on you. It does. It creeps up on you. And so the, let's just say the expressive and human and, you know, celebratory impulse to have fun is fucking amen, have fun. This will also creep up on you and your idea of fun. Or the ways in which you are deeply nourished could turn out to be weirdly simple and non-demonstrative.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, a few children running around a kitchen table, and it's that way. You're like, why are you running around this table?
Mm-hmm.
Just fucking running, man.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Yeah.
I don't want to rob any. I mean, I'm nobody, so I say these things, and it just sounds like such a fucking idiot. But this conversation is not to rob anyone of their delight or joy in life or having the most fun they can possibly have. This is just a weird kind of discovery that might speak to some people from time to time and, you know, nourish one's being in a curious, hopefully complimentary manner.
Yeah.
Or it'll drive you out of your fucking mind and fuck you.
Run out of here crying.
You can run out of here crying.
That really happens.
Oh, yeah. And yelling.
She's
running. We're very upset.
And
at least.
And no return?
Nope.
No, it wouldn't be a good idea for her to come back.
And that guy who was like, you just like to hear yourself talking, ran out of his kids. You don't have kids in his
He said that. I didn't say it.
I am blind.
All right, it was your fault. He ran out because of you. Hey, dude, your kids don't exist. I'm out of here.
Man, I've never even seen you don't exist, but like when it's your kids don't even exist. Yeah. That's a new love.
No.
Well, it was in context.
All I said was
just imagine up. I'm out of here.
Anything that's not right here is just imagination. Like that, the out-of-body experience is nothing but imagination. It's like as soon as anything happens, it's gone, and all you have is just a funky, morphed memory of it. It's not real. And he took the leap to, my kids aren't real.
He was somewhat of a destabilized fellow that was probably bordering on bipolar disorder, and his marriage was reflecting the stress of where he was going in his mind, and he was hoping this might be, a safe harbor for him, and it was not, so he ran out, and that was appropriate.
Oops.
Your kids don't even exist.
What do you do when your kid says that?
Really?
More money for me.
Yeah, really. Right. Listen, lady. I get my job back. I get my dog back. I get my. Oh, that's right. Your dog just passed. I'm sorry about that.
You didn't even hear about that. The family dog died literally the day, like the hour you were making the dead dog joke. He got some evil black
magic. I was making a dead joke.
You.
Oh, no.
You better be careful.
That was it. He was being put down.
Don't joke about my mother. Come on.
Well, I tried that on your kid with mine. I don't know. I wish.
Mine is the
dog. I'll have to give him a call.
Too mine.
Die
so I
could
have.
Oh my god! Your dog didn't have a life insurance policy or anything, did it?
No.
Next time you get him.
Oh boy.
Well, see, I was doing him a favor. Some pain.
You see how being, the curious nature of being, is to discover itself. Having fun, right? Is it? I mean, it's an impossible to avoid impulse of being discovering itself. Playing around with the magic of being, the artifacts of life, the beauty of people, the thrill of not knowing what's coming next, you know, of taking the risk, of being of service, of you're like, oh, I mean, it's a candy store, right? Consciousness is a candy store of an unimaginable discovery. Some human beings, relatively few, I would argue, relate to life as a candy store and take all kinds of risks day to day and week to week and lifetime to lifetime to just, you know, live it, to kill it, Most of us are like, what's on CNN, Dolly?
A lot of us as well are oscillating.
Yes.
Incredibly rapid, rapid oscillation between the high and the low, high and the low.
Yeah.
And I think that what I gather from your speaking that you're trying to
trying and failing or trying and succeeding.
I don't know what it's trial by error. I don't know. You have to be real with both.
To be real. Why not? Yeah, if you know whatever impulse field is driving your ship. One would be wise to honor the impulse field that's driving your ship, not to attempt to suppress or accelerate or decelerate or intervene with you know, the raw power of your life being lived.
It's kind of like the tar baby. You start to mess with it, you get stuck in it. You can't, like, extricate yourself. You started out with something about, like, thinking sucks or thought sucks. And then you talked about, this isn't a practice, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, it's not a practice.
Sure.
But I was reading last night about somebody that was, he likened our attachment to believing all this stuff that comes through our heads, the thinking mind and all the self-protective thoughts. We likened it to an addiction.
Yes.
And he said it's like, you just set it down. You know, you just don't hold, you don't invest in it. It's going to keep running, but you don't invest in it. And how you manage to set that down, whether it's a practice, this particular individual seemed to think it was a practice, which I'm a little suspicious of, but whether it's a practice or you're just struck, like to the other side of living through your thinking mind, I don't know.
How you manage to set it down is called your life.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you read about people that just have no background whatsoever. They pop through and there's nobody there.
It happens.
Spend a little time fishing around trying to find spiritual paths that will help explain what the heck happened.
What just happened to me?
Yeah. And they didn't practice. They did. It wasn't.
No.
You know, it wasn't. They just transformed.
Yeah. That's add water and stir mutation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a mystery.
It is.
I always like that tall baby story. And I never really understood why, but because I was told it when I was a kid, but it's like, in the last few years, I definitely picked that one up again, because I do see that as like as you generate thought and you focus it in a particular direction, it's like that's how you engage things. It's like once something's sort of rattling out there and you decide, all right, I'm going to engage it. Now you're given it more. Now you're part of it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like it's deciding before you engage that maybe. You don't want that tar baby on the end of your hand or whatever it is. It's like, but again, it's scheming.
Yes.
It's still scheming. It's like, well, I don't want a freaking tar baby. I'm not going to rise to
it's
that.
It's not a casual insight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what that means is you set down the negotiation. You set down, I'm going to make my life better. I'm going to deal with this crazy head. There's something I can do about it. You set down, there's something I can do about it, and that's why, the word kind of ruination comes up. Or when you, it's like complete unconditional surrender. There's, you give it up. You're gonna have good days. You're gonna have bad days. You're gonna suffer. You're gonna
There's the surrender agenda, which is a useful metaphor, And there are signs, I would say, in your own experience that, you know, one day you were consumed with the idea of yourself and the frustrations that attended to that. And another day you were curiously capable through no, let's say, you know, particular effort of your own to put it down. So there's the surrender side of the, call it the path, right? Yeah. Then there's, we could say, to be contrary to that, there's the positivity side.
The participation.
Well, yes. The
positive. You're active.
Yeah, yes. And the positivity or the active side is, like we touched on earlier, seeing firsthand that you don't know what this is. And that's liberation, too.
Yeah.
And though they're not antithetical, because seeing that you don't know what this is can also be expressed as a quality, sought or unsought, of surrender.
Well, it's refining the oscillation. You're like, you know, your work, I'm a traveler. Like, I move around a lot.
Yeah.
And when I first took on this so-called path, it was much more chaotic to the mind, much more of a struggle to finagle my way through the obstacles of other people.
You were a clumsy schemer.
I was a clumsy schemer. But over the years, I've refined my
You're a better schemer.
To,
yes.
Not even abilities, but my relationship
sure.
with the path. And
yes.
So then
I don't have to think about when I need to surrender or when I need to actively try to avoid certain obstacles.
Right.
It's just more of a dance that you're, and to me that's kind of the refinement of the oscillation between being active and passive. And
it's the maturation of your shaman.
It takes a certain,
You've been gifted.
I've been gifted.
You've been gifted with the imagination of your life.
I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you. I was trying to figure out what was going on.
Yeah, you were trying to figure out, well, you know, who should I credit with how well it's turned out for me?
Yeah, and now I'm going to credit you. Yeah.
Well, credit this. You've been gifted with the imagination of your life, and thanks to your, you know, innate charms and intelligence, it's unfolded in a certain way, according to your, let's just say, karmic predilection.
Yeah, I like to think that I have no...
No, you haven't. Don't worry about it.
No,
you won't. You won't get any credit from anyone in this fucking room.
Yeah.
That's right. We love you, but we don't really give a shit what happens to you.
I've heard that
before. Yeah. But that's... I mean, the best day of your life is when you realize the person that cares the least about you is you.
No kids.
Are you safe then?
I said you think ever happened to you. I said,
go
for the kids.
Yeah, go for my kids. Yeah.
Oh, my kids.
Yeah.
He came home and told me that story. I just.
Yeah, it's brutal.
But we laughed.
Well,
we must have laughed.
Nice. Well done.
It could have been 3 days because every time we looked at each other,
you got some good mileage out of that one.
Yeah. Oh, you guys have no idea how much mileage.
That's good. That's good to hear. Yeah, the thankless. No good do-nothings of the Night Sky Sangha provided somebody with a few laughs.
Yeah.
It's good for a laugh. It's curious, you know, liberation from oneself or from consequences or from the fear of, you know, future harm is, it's rocking.
Yeah.
And yeah, once you get over the terror of it, it's pretty funny. You're right. It's good. It's giddy that way. Getting over the terror of yourself, you know, you pass through the fire of that, you just start getting giddy. Yep.
There are certain pieces that you kind of state in a way that sort of reminds me of comments that someone like Alan Watts might make.
Uh-huh.
Because he has he has two things that correlate with what's happening here. One is he laughs a lot out loud. And he makes statements that are oddly confusing.
Yeah.
That's the best summary I've ever heard. Last lot, oddly confusing.
No, it's brilliant. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not undermining anything here. But I am sort of just trying to pull it. Because it seems like there are certain things that certainly I've tried to glean from his communications. His does seem to be based on, in my view at any rate, some level of doctrine, right?
Sure.
It's not a secret one necessarily, and it's like, so he has more of a sort of Buddhist tendency, should I say.
Yep.
But, you know, he's also, you know, he's looked around, but he's compared and contrasted other doctrines,
yes.
You know, and then try to compare and contrast them with his own personal experiences.
Yes.
And what he sees around him, you know. So, and I kind of feel like I kind of find that easier to get I because it kind of fits in with what is it, the habitual way of
interacting
with what you perceive as your reality.
Yes.
But
understood.
I have a hard time. I like the word you used earlier, which is that dance thing, right? Because you're right. There is an element of you can use your imagination to go back a couple of years, maybe 5, 10 years or something, and go, yeah, well, I was running around and I had these ideas and I had these thoughts and this is what perpetuated my actions.
Right? Yes, so you can do that.
And now you can kind of, so you stored that off on memory, whether it's 100% or not, it's close, right?
It might not be close at all, but you can believe it is.
We'll go with that.
Yeah.
So now you look back and you're like, holy shit, all right, so now I do a lot less of that stinking thinking. This is one of my friend's terms, which is exactly why I like the idea of this meeting. And I'm trying to sort of understand whether it's a fit for me. But it's like that stinking thinking is.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a lot going on.
You won't. But you won't ultimately.
Less going on than there was 10 years ago, and it is a dance. It has become more of a dance.
Yeah.
It's more.
Yes.
What's it in the moment as opposed to.
Right.
Contemplated and then
you won't be the decider as to whether whatever this is or isn't is a fit for you.
Yeah, no, all the time I'm like, no, I don't know.
there's no reason to have this conversation more than once. We'll see if you show up. Yeah, really, it's strange. I mean, I'm not singling you out or anyone, but there's no decider. What lights you up, what shows up in the fabric of your consciousness that invites you to, let's just say, the next horizon or the next dimension,
right,
is serendipitous and impersonal.
Decision point to sort of to be here, or to eat with my family because I forgot to tell them that I was thinking about coming here.
Right.
When I had my haircut and I ran out and I came out home and I'm like,
yeah.
I think I'm going to go actually. And they're like, well, we're going to eat. And I'm like, so. But
yeah.
Liberation can't wait, kids.
Yeah. It would have been fun to be with the family, right? And don't get me wrong.
Of course.
I don't have an issue with that. But it's like, but at the same time, it's like, so fun also equates to interest, or fun equates to
that's right.
those things that pique your
that's right.
something, whatever it is in you.
The magic of you is running the show.
So here it is. I should have stayed up front. You know what I mean? It's like, those are the things, but it's like, this is pulling me a little bit. It's like, this is the time to come back.
Well, here's a fun observation that, you know, you kick around from time to time. It's like, I don't have to ask you, or you don't have to come up with any evidence for your being here. Here is irrefutable, right? Why you're here, how you got here, the story that one can tell about, let's say, other options that might have been contrary to this one, that's all imagined.
I hear you, but it's like, maybe you're right. Maybe I should have stayed at home. You know what I mean?
maybe in a parallel universe you did.
Yeah.
You're not really here now. You're safe. This never happened.
We always do everything. And I adhere to that one too. You know, so it's a sort of.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the day when I can do both sides.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. You might be.
Well, he wants to be aware of it and be able to tell everybody about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, we can reflect on what we think occurred either in our actuality or in our imagination as concerns a decision made or a decision not made, and the curious juxtaposition or juggling of impulse factors that, you know, so-called pointed me in a certain kind of direction. And then what we call mind or identity, you know, wants to take credit for either a good decision or a poor decision made. I don't care if I'm celebrating a good decision or berating myself for a poor decision, as long as I'm in the game, as long as I'm involved.
It doesn't matter which decision you make, there's going to be a whatever it is, there's something at the end of that path. You know what I mean? So it's a sort of...
There's presence.
But here's one, actually, that I kind of like, which was way back in the day when they did that movie, the what is it, the something to Monte Carlo. It was a car race, right?
And yes.
The British guy lost his... No, the British guy was driving, the Italian guy had smashed his car.
Yeah.
The British guy gives the Italian guy a ride, and he gets in.
Yeah.
And the first thing he does is he rips his rearview mirror out and throws it out the back of the woods.
Uh-huh.
And the guy's like, well, what'd you do that for? And he's like, what's behind you is irrelevant.
Yeah.
And I kind of like
that. Enlightened
at the
moment.
Time, I remember thinking, that was a really bad thing to do that car, you know what I mean? But that piece there is just like, okay, so there are certain noise that you can make in terms of what your decision was, like the story, as you put it, what decision points you went through.
Which is what we're doing now.
Right? No, I hear you.
Okay.
But we're in an environment to discuss whether that's really what we're trying to get rid of. Is the looking back, and then we have the looking forward instead. So it's like so because in a sense it's like if you never question your decisions, then all those stories are irrelevant.
Yes, right? That's right. Now, that's right. That's ripping the rearview mirror out of the car.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So that's where I was trying. Okay.
So
that's why I brought that in. So uh-huh. It's like now you don't have a rearview mirror. So now apart from anything else, you can't see that other car speeding out behind you. And in a sense, it's like if you've got any sense of yourself, it doesn't freaking matter because when it feels right, you'll pull into that lane and everything will be fine. Right?
Maybe.
And you don't need.
Yeah. Well, yes, I hear you. Yeah. But I want to point out, I mean, well spoken. I listened carefully. You can find the kernel of self in the association with what's behind you. You can find the kernel of self in the association of what's in front of you. And I could suggest that there's neither what's behind you nor what's in front of you. There's only this. And there's complete
and there's no
rest.
Kernel of self.
That's right. And there's no kernel of self.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I struggle with
with the release of that kernel of self is synonymous with the release of the imagination of time.
Well, okay. Well, let's take what I just said another step further forward. So the first one that you kind of think, well, I'm going to stop regretting any of the shit that I thought about and my decision points, right?
Yeah.
So that shuts down. Let's just say half.
Half of the imagination of my life.
Half of the full crap that runs around my brain.
Yes.
So that's going to drop it down. If I don't care about the delusions that have been made,
right.
And I'm not reiterating.
Or I'm with you. You can move forward. Yes.
Okay. So now it's like, well, what other thinking have I got going? And as you pointed out, it's like, well, if you're looking forward to, then you've got issues there because that's irrelevant.
Absolutely, yes.
So now it's like, all right, so...
That's a little dangerous.
The first one was a little dangerous. That's a lot dangerous.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, it's a lot more dangerous than the last one for you.
Yes.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
Because you're driving, you're to be driving forward.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So at that point, it's like, so now you're sort of,
now
you're really in the position of whoever it is, Anakin or whoever it is,
uh-huh.
that you're going with the force, right? So it's like
not based on
logic.
In this case you don't care if Darth takes your head off.
Well, I hear you. I don't think Anakin did either, really. If you'd really given it up to the force, it wouldn't have made any difference, right?
Good point.
So at that point you're in this now moment where really your decision points are really based on spontaneity.
You might find also with all of that well articulated observation, you might find nothing at all.
In that middle.
No, here, now. Not then, here, now. Nothing at all. Yeah. You see, because anything that's found, anything that's objectified, is occurring in what we might refer to as mind or imagination. It's a form of storytelling, not to insult anyone.
Sure.
So without the movement
so we've chopped all that out and we're left with this now that doesn't have anything in it. So it's
You arrived.
Well, I may as well.
Ta-da.
Now I'm believing my kids don't exist.
Uh-oh. You better run. The door's there. See, that, again, it curiously has no implication.
Yeah.
Your kids are fine as existing, and they're fine not existing.
Oh, wow.
And there's no, and it, yeah, we needn't insist upon a position.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, that's the expression before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water, after.
Yeah.
Chop wood. But yeah, it's like, well, why does my fun have to be extraordinary? It can be incredibly ordinary.
It could be.
Yeah, eating skinny pop isn't good enough for you.
Exactly.
Or what?
Yeah, really. Like, yeah, who made you so special that not eating skinny pops isn't sufficient?
Yeah. I'm enjoying the skinny pop.
Yeah, it's good.
Thank you.
It's skinny pop, man.
39 calories per pop.
So this is the fun thing. By Yeah, right.
This is actually Weight Watchers.
That's right. I'm just going to read the whole package here to our audience of two. I need to be supervised. So what's fun is look at all of the marvelous, thank you, associations that just pour out of us according to our karma and our charms and the way that we express ourselves. And we love ourselves. We love to think and we love to feel and we love to be, in tune with or at odds with the imagination of our universe. I mean, it's like, that's me again. It's me again. It's me again. And there's a kind of a thrilling, aspect to it. And not to be contrary to that, there are other wonderful, let's call them gifts to discover, which is this absence of self. Absence of time, the relaxation of projection.
I think the refinement is that you're aware of that even when you indulge in these strange
strange
expressions.
Yeah.
Rumi, he signed like over 1,000 of his poems silence.
Yeah. Yeah,
he knew that. He knew the absurdity of trying to express what he was.
Yeah, he should have stopped while he was ahead. But listen, how
That's
could
why
he
just started twirling, right?
Yeah, right. He just started twirling. He's like, oh, I got to do something. Because this won't. I'll just keep writing poems unless I twirl. Yeah.
He actually did found the Whirling Dervishes as well.
Uh huh. That's good. Yeah, he's dead.
That's one way to look at it.
Yeah. Rumi, he's great. He's fucking dead.
Well, that's if he was ever alive at all, right?
That's right. If he was ever alive at all, which is the same thing we could say about ourselves.
Yeah. Actually, something that occurred to me when you were talking earlier, you were talking about was it being through these vehicles, something. Anyway, it was something kind of interesting because if you shifted your beingness, right, so consciousness. Consciousness kind of expressing through these vehicles, right? So
if you
say, all right, instead of consciousness being associated at the vehicle level, which is the flesh and bone sense that we play at, say, all right, well, consciousness actually is somewhere else. It's somewhere outside of all of that. A bit like the gamer on the computer. It's like the body that we see is the whatever it is, the little character that plays.
Cricket? What is that, a giant cricket? We're all going to die.
The bomb.
Run.
That's not a real cricket. It's the fridge.
That cricket doesn't even exist.
Well, if we were in Syria, it would be a bomb, but we're in Goldstone.
It must be a fridge, yeah.
But I think the deal with that is, it's like, well, you can shift where that plays. Because it's like, yeah, you can take out at this level.
Your joy is the absence of yourself, not what you can do about anything.
What can I do about the absence of
myself? I don't know that is my joy. That's where I keep kind of falling. That's the biggest question in all of the all the time that I've spent here. It's because it's like I use the F word, the fun word, right? Right.
Yeah,
It's like I do defer to that. I do.
Yes.
I do. You know, I really started to try to maneuver. manipulate my own little scheme to say, all right, I'm gonna be driven.
We don't want to lose the more, dog not by the my son, logic, like
mm-hmm. by my mind, but I'm gonna, as I feel it, I'm gonna take that road because that's the one that was like
understood. And yes.
Now I don't understand necessarily why I had to go that route, mm-hmm. but maybe it was showing me along the way.
Yeah,
this fucking room is haunted.
Right, right.
I'm trying to meditate here. Will you shut the fuck up?
I think that's the impression that I get if we're all done.
It's a fun yeah, conundrum.
It is a fun conundrum.
Fun, well, what fun your, rules.
Do you want to win it right?
Let's say fun rules.
Fun rules.
Okay. It's fun rules.
I agree.
Do I have more fun scheming?
Right. That's a good question.
Or might I have more fun with the unmitigated absence of myself?
Yeah. I got to scheme that one out.
Well, then that answers the question.
It's pre-scheming. You're right. That's exactly
it.
Because yeah.
Really, when you think about it, if scheming and thinking are the same, pretty much, it's like scheming that we've got right now. And
if it is.
Into a place of
if it is. If it is.
If it is.
The emphasis for these conversations is a textural and direct encounter with the absence of yourself.
Yeah. Which always leaves me absent.
Yeah. That means it's working. Now whether I don't know.
Well, no,
now whether you're fond of that absence or disquieted by that absence,
yeah.
I can't obviously, nor can you, control. And you will notice, just as you pointed out so well, that, yeah, ultimately this might be really fucking chill, but I need to dance.
Yeah.
And those are not at odds. They're not mutually exclusive.
Yeah. I want them dancing, just to let you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's like, I mean, I can't even say what it comes down to. I don't know what the fuck it comes down to. This is just occurring improvisationally, just the way that it is, just the way that you feel, just the way that you think, just whatever you feel like saying next, or the way that this kind of conversation, you know, evokes or provokes or engages you.
My personal feeling, whether it has any value to anyone,
it doesn't, but speak it out.
Yeah, I'm just going to express it anyway. That there's value to both in the sense that I feel like I'm scheming in many ways to create certain practices in my life that clarify the system that I'm operating in, which is the vehicle of, mm-hmm. of myself, the so-called vehicle, whether it's an illusion or not.
Yeah.
I feel the effects when I try to stop breathing. I feel the effects when I don't eat good food. I feel the effects when I, you know, don't do certain things that give me clarity in allowing what I feel is an infinitely higher intelligence that's permeating existence.
Uh-huh.
That if I do create an intentional scheme to, I don't know what to call it, purifying the self, but just removing the blockages that I feel are the obstacles that just don't allow energy to just flow.
If you have found blockages, you'd better fucking clear them.
Yeah. And so that, to me, that's where the value of scheming comes in, where it's like, all right, this is like some sort of thing that I have to navigate and, you know, find, well, maybe it's, my environment, maybe it's thought process, psychosomatic, whatever it may be. There's
when you
blockages.
Get if and when
conditioning, you can call
even if and when one becomes, not you or anyone in particular, if and when one becomes weary of all of that, this is waiting.
Wait, what? Say that again.
If and when you become weary of your imagination, this is waiting. If you want to pursue practices to do something about your blockages, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
I think that there's value in that, but the...
I hear you. You do think there's value in it.
The blockages are also... they're internal. I don't... Or they're...
They're imagined.
Well...
they're objectified.
I think
we like blockages because that gives me a chance to apply myself to the removal of them.
Yeah, that to me is extreme. You know, that to me is
you're extreme.
Is taking things to a level that disqualifies thousands of years of
this conversation practices. Is aimed at disqualifying thousands of years of all of that shit.
Yeah, I just.
You don't have to like it, but that's why we do it. We do it to exactly that, to disqualify the imagination of anything that's occurred prior to that.
You know, for me, it's a matter of. You're disqualifying it because you've reached a point in your life.
I'm in no point, I haven't reached anywhere.
But you weren't there.
Definitely not more messed up than we are.
You haven't always neither. Been in this place where you're at. You needed to go through the organic process of working through this actual experience.
I surrender, yes.
And then you've reached this point where you realize it's an imagination. But you have to give that space. Now you said before everybody got it, like let that person do it on their own. There's no place
this,
for here.
This is not a vehicle for the processing or shining of one's persona to deal with the beautiful process of ritualizing or clearing blockages. Do that at Byron Katie's workshops. This is when you've come to the end of ultimately.
Yeah.
And I'm not disparaging
exclusive. I don't think they're exclusive. I think
they are for this conversation. They may not be for you, and I respect that. But I don't give a flying fuck about the processes that you or I or anyone needs to go through for this to be what it is.
Yeah, but then I feel like you're missing the boat then because then you're
I might be under the boat. I might be shredded by the propellers as we speak.
Keep going.
Yeah,
it's possible.
I hear you. I don't disrespect that perspective, and yes, I have been through it to the extent that you would seduce me into biographizing myself. Yes, I can tell a lot of stories, as can we all, about the failure of my spiritual life.
I'm holding on to attachments that are an illusion. I think that there is many of that, but then there are also certain things that are very real.
It's just in a sense, it's up to you, and in another sense, it's not. Whatever shows up as the pouring forth of your association is yours.
Yeah.
There's no one has a right to take that from you or dissuade you from it, really. And to complement that, this conversation is about perhaps missing the boat or being drowned by it.
I see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the yogas that you honor and that I honor, right? In the fruition or maturation of those yogas is liberation. And we can both respect that.
Yeah.
So, in that respect, one can use one's life as a vehicle for purification and presence and practice and repeat and alignment and worship and devotion. Fantastic. And one can also respond to presence as the end of ultimately. This is the fruition of the Buddha. This is the fruition of Christ. This is the fruition of the masters that you have been gifted to come to love. This is it. And that's not knowledge.
Yeah.
Or practice.
Or practice.
Yeah. I guess I'm just looking at things in more that we need to refine pandering to life's bullshit, you know, refine that by that allows for this. You have to. That's the oscillation as well.
You have to
engage to some level with the illusions of the world, whether you may be aware of it consciously. You're still sort of engaging in that frequency that is.
You're not really engaging in any frequency other than the one that you're imagining right now.
Yeah, it's.
You can take a moment just to rest in that. Yeah. I'm not insisting. I'm not trying to bully you.
Well, I think that there's a difference in tone that makes it seem like you have certainty and I'm living in doubt. Because I'm actually trying to work through it, whereas it seems as though you're resting in a non-doubt.
I'm in constant annoyance of everything.
Hold out for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hearing.
Yeah. I got nothing. I tried to get on the boat. They pulled up the gangplank before I even got to the. Come on, I can't. They were like, we're leaving. Yeah, we're out of here. This boat's leaving. Pull up the gangplank. It's that guy. Yeah. See, there's no actual condition. The Buddha didn't arrive at a condition. Christ didn't arrive in a condition. The liberation, if I dare say so, and I'm neither of them, and I wasn't there, just for fun, was absolute. And this is that liberation.
So you think this is a spontaneous thing that happens to the Buddha or Christ? Or do you think it happens through, as he mentioned, you know, there's a certain amount of work that they did before they got to a certain place where they managed to get rid of some of their bullshit? And then it was like, boom, suddenly it's like, well, wait a minute, now I get it.
Nice paradox, right?
Right. Well, but like, do you think it's that, or do you think, you know, they were just bumming along and then suddenly, boom?
Well, in the reflection of historical figures that may or may not have lived, we really just have the delight of conjecture.
All right. So again, it's like we're back to this qualification or non-qualification.
Thank you.
Qualification.
Yes.
Which is basically
qualification.
Whether you're qualifying it and you've decided it's bullshit, or whether you've not qualified it, it's
yes.
bullshit.
It qualification really is synonymous with self. Qualification
right.
is synonymous with time.
You're left with one piece in my limited understanding of this, and that is
you're not so limited.
This
you might not be that bright, but you're not so limited.
This one with the
bright. I'm
bright
when
I'm drunk. So,
neither am I.
So you've only got the present moment to experience, right? According to however you've set it up. So
you don't
far,
have to go
you
with
have
the,
no idea.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
How you've set it up.
So yes. Far, keep. This is fun. I mean, think of yourself as a reduction sauce.
Yeah, well, so I'm trying.
And you're slowly being steamed. And the you know the more superfluous moisture is just wafting into the atmosphere, and it's leaving behind these gems of consciousness that have the most nuanced, elegant. Flavor.
It's all thinking. I'm scheming right now because I'm trying to package this down to a place where it's like, all right. So
here's
so
your. Do you remember? Do you remember the wonderful scene, the psychotherapist scene between what was the comedian's name? Do you remember the great video?
You gotta give me the movie name first.
Yeah. Wasn't it? Huh?
One flew over the cuckoo's.
No, it wasn't in a film. It was a comedy show, and he was a very kind of straight man comic, and he was playing the role of a psychiatrist. And in came a woman that was having anxieties and eating disorders and various things.
Oh, stop it.
And he said to her, Bob Newhart, he said, stop it.
Thank you. Or in yours, shut the fuck up, right?
Shut the fuck up is reserved for people whom we feel a tremendous effect.
That's our, instead of F fun word, we use.
Yeah. Right. I mean, whoever's here is delightful beyond, beyond consciousness, completely delightful. And not to be contrary to that, it is, let's just say, an invitation or a gift that, wow, I needn't process this through the myth or inertia of metaphor. I needn't package.
That's what we seem to have been doing today is
really
going through. Yeah,
we'll see about that.
Okay, because I may have remembered it wrong.
Most likely, have.
It's like that's what's stored in my database. Yeah. Like,
Well, this is also the encouragement.
It's like
time out.
What we did.
Time out. The encouragement is also to notice, with all of that, call it the banter level of our engagement,
right,
is also to notice the curious texture of experience that's present without my intervention, without my ideation. That's also very much the emphasis of having this kind of conversation. It's an open-eyed conversational meditation. We're not isolating by sitting on our own cushion with our eyes closed facing the wall or whatever. We're engaged, we're conversant. But the presence of meditation and the nuance of the actual texture of what experience is also, we do our best, right? All of us do our best, is remarkably present. Your memory is more likely to focus on the banter, because presence, curiously enough, is not possible to be remembered. Presence is. Banter can be remembered. Presence cannot be remembered. And it doesn't need to be.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of liberation, boom, in that.
Yeah. But I'm more in line back to the mythical, for the sake of this conversation, Buddha and Christ and their path being one of intense discipline. Trials of different techniques and methods.
But that's the expectation, because it's like that's kind of how the story went. Yeah. You know what I mean? But at the same time, there's no reason to say.
I feel that there is a certain lineage that can be rooted to practices that are still present with us.
Why get enlightened when you can eat skinny pop?
Certain meditation practice, certain breathing practices, certain eating habits. These are all aimed at developing a being that can reach the Buddhahood and Christ consciousness.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of through discipline. Well, if we throw everything out the door and say,
no, not now.
You can resolve that through discipline.
You could be throwing your baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like that. There are things that, obviously, but there have been, people before us and civilizations.
Diarrhea.
I think
they're not universal.
That's right.
I can't validate that they were here. You know what I mean?
That's your personal journey then.
Right. So it's like, but there are documents, and you can read those, and you can say, well, that sounds pretty cool. It's like, I haven't thought about like that before. But again,
it's a good time to end.
It's perceived as, like, it's thinking, or it's thinking, and really, really what you want to do is to exercise kind of less to
a lot. Never felt myself
like. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lift
the needle off.
Yeah. Just lift the needle off. Yeah. That's right. It's remarkable. It really is.
Or just embrace the angst. Let it run amok, and pretty soon it'll be tired of hearing itself, and you won't have to do anything to shut it off because
it can look that way.
It won't be able to stand listening to it anymore.
That's right. It can work that way too.
Yeah.
That's the way I go. I don't care if there's
embrace the angst.
Yeah.
There's
okay.
The idea though that there's
so
certain techniques that can be, they can
absolutely
be, a method that
he's one of those old souls.
And then there's other techniques that
he shows up and boats just stop. Come aboard, matey. I show up and they're all zooming away from the dock.
But no one knows behind his boat, you're on that surfboard, that whatever they call it behind the boat, not the speed, but the other.
He's caught on the anchor. Right?
I'm chum. Yeah, just chum.
Shark chum.
Yeah, shark chum. So, gentlemen, let me interrupt just for a moment to say thank you for coming.
Yes.
And, of course, you're always welcome to come again.
Next time. That's my reason for coming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, good night, everybody.
Thank you, Nan.
Bye, Nan.
All right. Bye. And, we'll call it a night. If you care to, you can leave a few dollars and we give it all to Pebble Hill for the use of the room. Or 20 or 100, whatever you got. Thank you for those that were joining us online. We really appreciate your presence, too. And good night to everyone in La La Land.